I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when the darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will rise.
Former military, if you're a veteran, if you've served, Brother Harry Hughes, Brother, would you stand real quick? Brother Harry Hughes does a service that he would like to include, and he's involved with the Vietnam veterans here in Florida, here in Sebring, and he puts together just a biography. And so he'd like to get with you and get a picture and some information about where you served, when you served, and be able to put something together for our church. And he gave me a representation. Can I make this available to the church to look at? Okay. And I'll provide this. This will be back on the resource table if you'd like to look through it just to see. So he'd like to do that, put it together so that we can have a record of those that served for our church. And we honor our veterans at different times of year, Veterans Day, and But I'd like to go ahead and do this, and he's offering to do it for free. Do you have anything you wanted to add?
The forms are in there to fill out. If that didn't bring enough, I'll have more next week. What you do is bring me a photograph of why you were in the service with the information, and you'll get your picture back the following week. You try to make it an original copy. Don't turn out too good. The original, it's got some bad spots in. I can work with it and improve it. But I'll also take a picture when you come back with the information. So we'll have the today's picture to go along with it, as you'll see on one that I have there. And so just grab a form if you want it done, and I'll take it out. I'll bring a proof in for you to read, make sure everything's right.
All right. Thank you, brother. Yes, sir.
One of the ones here that don't have a picture of him, you may have it on the phone. Can you send the picture to him?
I'll try it, but so far they haven't come through that way.
Well, like myself, I don't have one here with me.
Okay.
But I do have one on my phone.
Well, you can try that. Yeah. We can try that. All right. All right. I'll try to include your information there with your telephone number. If you have any questions, you can direct those to Brother Hughes. So that'd be great. Thank you. Appreciate that. Go ahead and take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 this morning. It's the end of the Old Testament. There's a verse in Malachi where God calls the nation who didn't even realize that they had departed from the Lord. He calls them to return. And I'd like to focus on a phrase here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Just a simple phrase, because it captures the idea of what we're trying to accomplish with our yearly revival. He says, "Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." And then he goes on to tell them where they had returned. And in this context, he's specifically speaking about financial offerings. They had gotten away from honoring the Lord with their first fruits and with their substance. They were not giving to the Lord as was commanded out of their heart. They had gone away from the Lord. But God here in verse 7, he says, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." And I want to focus on that for a little while this morning. I believe it really encapsulates the idea that what we are trying to accomplish with yearly revival. Next week, we'll have our revival meetings. And I realize you can't schedule a revival because a revival is technically speaking, it's a spiritual event. Now, we can schedule meetings. It's just simply an opportunity. The word revive, sometimes different things have been added to it. It has some baggage that comes along with it. Re and vive, putting together, just means to bring to life again, to awaken, to bring back to awareness. Revival is not getting saved, okay? When you get saved, you were not spiritually alive. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." When you get saved, you are given spiritual life. That's not revival. Revival is when a Christian who has been given life gets away from the Lord a little. And sometimes, friend, the sad part is we don't realize it. We don't realize that we need revival, returning to the Lord. The Bible says that we come to God through Jesus Christ. He said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And as we come through Jesus Christ receiving the gospel, we receive new life. We're born again as a child of God through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this when speaking with Nicodemus. And as newborn children of God, we are to live our life for Him. I appreciated the song that was sung. It kind of conveys that we are to give it all, and one day He will call us. We should be ready. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Do you realize the mercy that God has given you, how much He loves you? And I beseech you by that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Amen.
We don't belong to a religion where God calls you to die for Him. He does call you to live for Him. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A continual, ongoing process. The problem with a living sacrifice is it crawls off the altar every once in a while. You've heard that before. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. Does that describe our relationship with God? Personally, think about it. Rhetorical question. Examine yourself. Well, it should. And it can. And I believe every opportunity we have that comes, special meetings or different events or things in our life, stages in our life, turns of the year, they afford us the opportunity to examine our heart. I believe that we need to regularly examine our spiritual life and see if we need to return to the Lord. Now, there are some pitfalls to consider that may be the basis or the way in which revival can see its way in your life. I want to preach to you this morning a message entitled Return to the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray today. Dear Lord, help me this morning as I preach this, that it would speak to our hearts, that each one here, we might examine our hearts. And if there's an area of our heart, an area of our life, an area of thinking, a philosophy, a cooling off, maybe a complacency, maybe just no vision. Work in our life today, dear Lord. Draw us to yourself. Prepare us for revival. It can come today. It doesn't have to come next week. Lord, work today. In your name I pray. Amen. I think first of all, as we're talking about returning to the Lord, I think one way is that we can come away from the Lord is a possible distraction in our calling. A distraction in our calling. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. You'll notice in verses 16 and 17 that the Word of God is paired with us living for Him. It says, let the Word of God, the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. God's Word needs to dwell in us. That doesn't necessarily just mean that we know it in our head, but we know it in our heart. It produces something. It produces conviction. It produces a lifestyle change, a philosophy change, a thinking change. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another. It will change us if we allow it to. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, I was talking with somebody this past week about the importance of music. Our God is a God who wrote music. That's what the psalms are. They are songs to be sung unto the Lord. Music is the language of the emotion, and God gave us that, and God's Word should impact it. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do. Okay, and in my wisdom, in my teaching, in my admonishing, in my singing, and it says, oh, and by the way, whatsoever ye do. In word or in deed, that's basically how much of your life? Everything, okay? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Elsewhere in the book of Colossians, it says, in everything that you do, do heartily as unto the Lord, bringing glory to God. Do everything to the glory of God. You know, the whole reason that we exist here is to bring glory to God, to fear God, to serve Him. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That relates to our purpose and our philosophy, our reason for living, who that we serve and live for. Some folks have the idea that when you get saved, God calls you to stop doing everything and to start doing a bunch of new things. And while that can be the case, depending on how you live your life, God doesn't necessarily call you to forsake your way of life, but to live it with a new purpose. Your calling is to be a full-time servant and representative of God. No matter where you go or what you do, we are to do it to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That is our overpowering purpose now. You're a servant of Christ, a representative of Him. The time clock you punched the day before you got saved, you punch it now as a representative of Jesus Christ. The people you spoke to the day before you got saved, you now speak to them as a representative of Jesus Christ. The hobbies you had, the people that you knew, the places that you go, you now go as a representative of Christ, doing all to the glory of God. We are to continue, but as a representative of God, out of love for God, to the glory of God. Do you realize that is the purpose of our life, as a living sacrifice, to do what we do out of love for God, to the glory of... That's our calling, Christian. You know, sometimes we can get distracted from that. We can get away from putting our heart into it. It can just be going through the motions, whether it be doing things that are good or anything else in your life. Even things that we do that are good, we can just kind of get into a routine and not have our heart in it. Going to church, even reading your Bible. Well, I got that checked off the list. We're distracted from our calling. That's so easy to do. We struggle with distraction. There are so many things that pull our mind and we're distracted from the real purpose. I think of this when I think of raising children. I have four children God gave us, and I love them. We love our children. You think about this. You have children. Some of you are still involved in your grandchildren's life. We want to, and I see this happen, and I'm not, just listen to the, we want to love our children, to provide for our children. We go to work. We want to provide a home, an atmosphere, a school. We do all of these things for our children. But you know what? Sadly, sometimes we're so busy doing things for our children that we don't actually spend time with our children. And if you think about it, giving your kids more stuff and them having less of you, it's not really a better life. It will change the way you prioritize your life. If you remember why you're doing what you're doing, it changes the way you prioritize. And Christian, why we are doing what we are doing is out of love for God, to the glory of God. See, some of us have gotten distracted this year, and we go through the motions, and we're just here, and we're there, and we have forgotten that we're a full-time representative of Jesus Christ, bringing glory to Him, serving out of love for Him. You may have gotten distracted this year, and you need to return to God in the area of focus, a new purpose in life, a possible distraction from our calling. I think, secondly, a potential dullness in our passion. Take your Bible and turn over to Psalms 51. It's easy to get distracted and forget why you do what you do. By the way, if you remember why you do it, you'll do it with a different heart. You'll do it differently. You'll give more of yourself to it. Psalm 51, David here is speaking, and he's yearning for a return of passion. Look at verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Something has changed and I don't like it, and I want to be back to the way it was. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me. Restore, return, revive. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God, I had joy. I had passion. I knew what it was before, and something has cooled off. Restore it to me. Uphold me with thy free spirit. David here is praying for a return of God manifesting himself in David's life through joy and passion in his salvation. That loving relationship with God, the excitement sometimes wears off. You know, that's really the way it is. You see that very vividly at this time of year because we have a lot of new shiny things in our houses, okay? Especially if you have kids or grandkids. Sometimes grandparents have the most new shiny things. Or they send them home with the grandkids. You know, grandparents buy noisy toys and send them home to annoy their kids. I know the way it works. But your kids, they receive all these new shiny things and the new toy, the new truck. The excitement wears off after a while. We adults are no different, you know. The new possession, the new house, the new way of life, the new experience, it grows old over time. The excitement wears off and we grow tired and bored. And that can happen spiritually, Christian. Your passion that you once had, in fact, when he says the joy of my salvation, I don't think that's an accident to put it that way, because many times people have joy about their salvation very closely to when they get saved. They get saved and they're excited. Everything is new and they want to serve God and they want to dedicate and they want to win souls. And over time, we cool off. A dullness. You know what causes cooling off? I think influence really does. The influences in our lives will change us over time. They will change us in imperceptible ways until you didn't even realize it was happening, by degrees, until you don't realize and you wake up and realize that it happened. There's a story of Charles Spurgeon. He was going to a church member's house who he hadn't seen in a while, and he was trying to encourage the man to come back to church. I've told this before. You probably heard it. And as they were sitting, it was a cold day like today, right? Today's a cold day. Checking to see if you're paying attention. It's cold for Florida. But he went to this man's house, and there was a fire crackling there. And he was talking with this man about coming back to church, and he hadn't seen him in a while, and coming back to serving God. And as he was speaking, the man was, you know, he was telling Spurgeon all these different things. And Charles Spurgeon reached over with a tong, and he pulled one of the coals out of the fire and just set it on the hearth. And as they're talking, over time, that coal got cool and the fire went out. Now, the fire in the fireplace continued, but that coal was cooled off. And he looked at the man and he says, you know, the coal that's out of the fire is the one that gets cool. And the man says, I got your point. I'll be back in church. When we miss influence, that's why church is so important, the fellowship with other believers. And it's not just these four walls. It's when we have that fellowship with other believers that are like-minded, headed in the same direction, serving the same Savior, worshiping out of the same Bible, that it continues that in our life. You know, the influence of the world is definitely the opposite. Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Those influences will wear on you after time. I've worked in the secular workplace a number of different times, and just the language and the content and the different things. And you know, some of that you cannot control. But you know what's ironic, Christian, is that sometimes we as believers, we see that in the world, and then we come home and we turn on the television and we invite that same influence into our life. Or we turn on the radio and we have that same influence in our life. That worldly influence that kind of wears on us there, where we cannot control it, we will bring it in under the name of entertainment. And it does influence us imperceptibly in degrees, maybe at the start, but it will cool you off. It will cause us to be dull spiritually. I think too much wrong influence, not enough right influence, and not enough time in God's Word. Now, I'm convicted frequently about leaving off and not reading God's Word. I spoke about it last Sunday. If you miss a day in God's Word, I'm not saying you're living in sin and backslidden. But if you're not taking in God's Word on a regular basis, you will cool off spiritually. How important is God's Word to our spiritual life? Well, it is the fuel for my faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. It is the food for my spiritual life. Even Jesus Christ said in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's the guide for my feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I want food, if I want faith, if I want guidance, then God's word must be in my life. And if I'm not taking it in, I'll begin to grow dull. You know, revival is a tremendous time for influence. We have services, multiple services, opportunities. I want you to look at them as opportunities, because every time you come to a revival service, Brother Dale Aguiar, good man of God, he will be preaching God's word. We will be singing hymns that are rich in truth. You'll be surrounded by believers that want the same thing, desire for God to move in their lives. That's an opportunity for influence. View it as such. Fan that passion. Some of us have cooled off this past year. We were on fire, giving either to our fire has tended to fall down a little. It's cooled off, and we need to return to God in our fervency. We need to return to God in our focus and our fervency. But I think also there's a danger here, not just of distraction and dullness, but also of drifting. You know, David here, you got your Bible open to Psalm 51. I want you to look up at the top of that psalm, the title. By the way, the psalm titles are part of God's word. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone to Bathsheba." The psalm title is actually part of verse 1 in the Hebrew text. See, David is praying this psalm to God because he has been awakened to something that took place in his life. David fell into sin. He didn't just fall, he walked into sin. He knew what was right, and one night where he should have been away at war, it said, you know, when it was talking about it earlier in the scripture, it said at the time of year when kings went away to war, David stayed home. He saw something. He was tempted through the lust of the eyes. He saw a beautiful woman on a rooftop washing herself. And he looked and he lusted and he inquired, and his men said, "That's the wife of Uriah the Hittite." He was one of the men in David's army. And David said, "Bring her unto me." He lusted and then he acted upon it and he sinned. He committed adultery with the woman. And then to try and cover up his sin, he didn't know what to do. And then it came with a woman. She was expecting a baby. And David eventually had the man Uriah killed and took Bathsheba to be his wife. Well, Uriah was dead and nothing had happened. David wasn't judged. Here comes a new baby. Everyone would think it's not a big deal. In fact, David never really repented, according to Scripture. It wasn't until right before the baby was born, God sent a prophet, Nathan. And he spoke to David and said, "David, what have you done? What have you done?" You know what's interesting is David waited a year before returning to the Lord. He waited a year before repenting, and when he finally did, it came to the point where he had not only been distracted and grown dull, but he had drifted from God, and he prays to God. Look at this in verse 7. Well, verse 1. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David, a man after God's own heart, how did you get this far? He drifted because he wasn't regularly examining himself. He allowed small sins to grow. He allowed them to stay, and he drifted away from the Lord, no longer in fellowship with God. Now he's asking to return. He had committed adultery. He had committed murder. He had been away from the Lord, allowing this for a year to grow. And here is this man. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." You know what that means? It means it's eating on his conscience now. Could God forgive a man like David? And he did. What did I say to start with? We worship a God who responds when men repent. That's exactly what David is doing here. He recognized that he had drifted from fellowship. He had definitely sinned in God's eyes. He says in verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop that I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which were broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from mine iniquity and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." See, David recognized that he had drifted from God, and he prays with a repentant heart, and God restored him. God responds when men repent. I think this is very critical to bring out, and here's why. I have heard folks say, well, we need to pray for revival, that God would bring it. And I agree with that. Oh, how I agree with that. That's what David is doing, by the way. But can I tell you this? Revival is not something that is mysterious that God might send and might not send. Revival is first and foremost a personal experience where the individual believer recognizes, God, I have been distracted. You know what? I'm just going through the motions. I have cooled off in some areas. There was a time when I was closer to you than I am now. You know what? I've drifted. I don't have that daily fellowship. Lord, give it back to me. It's primarily a personal experience. And it is primarily on our part. Why do I say that? Well, does God want you to have right fellowship with Him? Yes. Does God forgive you when you confess your sins? Yes. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God never stiff arms His children. When we pray for revival, then whose heart is changing? Is it ours or God's? Ours. God wants that. And so that is a prayer that God will answer, Christian. That is something that you can have. Revival is a return to the Christian life as it ought to be. Abiding in Christ. Walking with Him on a daily basis. Walking with the Holy Spirit. Having a return of our focus. A return of our passion. A return of fellowship. Not compared to somebody else. Not to these, you know, you hear experiences that some people have and they had this happen in their life and some great miracle. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you and your relationship with God. God's a personal God.
Amen.
He wants to be first in your life. And how that looks and how it works its way out, it's not a formula that can be compared with some experience that someone else has. It's something that you can know, that you can have, that you can experience on a daily basis. It's easy to drift. It's easy to drift by degrees over time. Some of us have drifted. We need to return to God in our fellowship. And Christian, I can tell you that the prayer for that is one that God will answer. Your heart just has to be ready. You know, I think finally, a prayer for revival, maybe not in our life per se, but in our vision. Turn over to Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Here at the end of Proverbs chapter 4, this first part of the book of Proverbs, Solomon is instructing his son, giving him instruction like a fireside chat with the wisest man on earth besides Jesus Christ, divinely gifted by God. And these chapters, chapters 1 through 4, are written to his children, his son. When the end of this chapter 4, he makes this statement. Look at verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. We're given a contrast. And many times in Proverbs, there are contrasts here, a contrast in picture. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Influence, basically. Okay. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. There are some folks that are like that. And he's saying, don't build friendships with them that they influence you not. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. This is not a lifestyle that you and I should espouse to or have close fellowship with. Instead, look at the life of God's people. Verse 18. It says, the path of the just, that's a believer, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Here's the picture, Christian. Picture is that Christ is here, and the world is headed that way, and we are headed towards Him. The path of the just, as we grow closer to our redemption, as we grow closer to heaven, as we worship Christ more, as we know Him more deeply, as we dwell in Him, as we allow His Word to consume us and to continually change us, that the path of the just does not become more obscure the closer they get to their destination. It becomes more clear, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Some of you may be at the point in life when your eyes are starting to grow dim more and more. And bright shining light is it's something you want, right? You know, you say, man, the light's not bright enough. It's not as bright as when I was younger. Well, here it says, this light shineth more and more. You know what the scripture is essentially saying? That God wants to give you not less of a vision the older you get. He doesn't want us to cool off and slow down and coast in and relax the longer we're a Christian, but to have more and more of a vision influenced by God. Now, maybe this year has been a good year for you. Maybe you are closer to God now. You have had spiritual victories. Maybe you have not drifted, Christian. There's no dullness. You have not become distracted. But how is your vision for this next year? You know what I find sometimes when I speak with believers is that we have a tendency to live in the glory of our spiritual victories from the past instead of focusing on ones that God can give us in the future. We get wrapped up with what God did. Well, yeah, I had that happen one time. Well, are you contented with that one time? Yeah, I won somebody the Lord one time. Yeah, I served God in that way one time. I saw God answer a prayer one time. Is that good enough? The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. See, what burden, ask these questions for yourself. What burden on my heart do I desire God to resolve or answer this year? Here's some good things. We talk about New Year's resolutions. What person do you desire to see saved this year? Have you thought about that? Have you asked God to use you to see someone saved? I can't think of anybody, but Lord, can I be involved in that ministry? You want to pray a prayer that God will answer? Lord, can you use me in that ministry? God says, yes. Lord, allow me to lead someone to you. Have you asked the Lord to use you to meet the needs of someone else? Lord, I'm not really aware right now of needs that somebody has, but can you reveal them to me and then allow me to meet them? You think God wants to do that? Amen. Yeah. Is that a prayer that God might answer? Yes, that's a vision that we can have. That is what the body of Christ, the family of God, the church is about. It is about us desiring to step out of just our own self and meet the needs of others. And by the way, when we each do that, that means our needs are met too. Amen. Have you asked God to teach you something new from His Word this year? Or do you open the Bible and, you know, the preacher turns to a passage and you go, oh, I've read that before. I told you about that time my son did that. It was so funny. And I can tell on him. We were at another church and the pastor turned to Daniel and he was teaching out of the book of Daniel. And I look over and Jeremiah didn't have his Bible open. And I said, Jeremiah, open your Bible. And he looks straight at me and he goes, but I've already heard this before. Like, Dad, I already know what it says. I don't need to listen. No, have you asked God, Lord, show me something new, teach me, or maybe remind me, because we learn things and then we forget them, don't we? Have you set out on your heart to memorize more of God's Word this year? Lord, I want to hide your Word in my heart, but it's hard for me to memorize. Anybody there? Have you asked God to give you a vision for this year? I know He has one. Do you share His vision? You know, our goal is not to be good this year, Christian. Our goal is not to be better this year. Our goal is to be Christ-like. Right? Paul the Apostle says in Philippians chapter 3, he makes this statement. Brethren, now as good as a Christian as the Apostle Paul was, God used him mightily, okay? He wrote most of the New Testament. How many churches were planted by him? We quote him very, very frequently, the Apostle Paul. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. He goes, I have not got there yet. By the way, he's there now. He's in heaven. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Allow God's calling on your life to be Christ-like, to develop your vision. In what way can I be more Christ-like this year? And revival is a tremendous opportunity to reevaluate your vision, not just personally, but for a church as well. By the way, the church is the people. So as we together do this, it's a personal experience. And as we experience it personally on a large scale within the same church, then I guess the church has revival too. Return unto the Lord, Christian. In what way, Pastor? I'm not speaking to anything specific. But should we examine our heart? Yeah. And I believe that if you do, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. God will do that. He desires for that. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. As we think about the message today, I must ask you, do you need a return of focus? Does it feel like life is just blending one day into the next and you don't really have a purpose? Sometimes it gets hard to continue. I found that when you remember why you're doing what you're doing, it gives us energy. Maybe you need a return of focus. We are to do what we do out of love for God to the glory of God. Do you need a return of fervency? It's possible the world's influence has really cooled you off. It needs to be cleared from your life. God's word needs to have more of a central place. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Maybe you need a return to fellowship. Maybe this year. Last year might have been for the record books. That's okay. Break the records. Ask God to set new ones. What about your vision this year? Now, it's entirely possible you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, you know, you're talking about returning to the Lord, revival. Well, I don't know that I've ever been saved. I don't know if I'm saved. Well, friend, that's really the place to start then, is that God loves you and He doesn't say, come back. He says, come to me. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth and lived a sinless life and died on the cross in our place. He commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid our penalty that we deserved. He paid it, and He purchased our salvation. It lies waiting to be received. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you realize you're a sinner, if you realize that you've never been saved, it's as easy as asking Jesus Christ to forgive you and putting your faith and trust in Him. That can happen today as well. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Work in our hearts today. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you please stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God has moved in your heart, there's something specific He's speaking to you about, talk to the Lord during our invitation. You can come and bow a knee at the altar. You can do business with the Lord there at your seat. If you'd like to get saved this morning or to get assurance, and friend, I'd love to pray with you or have somebody else pray with you. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady pray with you. If you're a man, I'll pray with you. Let's do business with God right now. Cooper, would you please close us in a word of prayer, after which you'll be dismissed.